May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Trinity Sunday, I'm always reminded of putting a puzzle together. You know, you start with the simple ones for the young, such as we have among us, where you have maybe two or three pieces and it fits together and suddenly you have something visible that they can recognize. Then you progress as you get older, you know, the age 3 to 4 and 9 to 10, but the puzzles get more complex as we get older. And suddenly when we put together a big puzzle, we see the picture in its complete visibility. And that's really what Trinity Sunday to me is about. The puzzle has been complete. We now have the three parts of the Trinity of God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in action. And we have the Spirit that continues in action today, has been continuing in action since the day of Pentecost that we celebrated last Sunday. And the gospel text for this Trinity Sunday of 2018 is from the Gospel of John. It's a very familiar interplay that Jesus has with Nicodemus in the dead of night as he comes to the Lord with questions, seeking answers, and that's really a good thing. When a child is seeking answers, when they ask a question, we need to respond. Provide for them guidance, provide for them some visibility, that they might then perhaps consider something in maybe greater depth. So the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, the following from the lectionary in Jesus' name, or from Scripture as supported in the lectionary for this Sunday. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. And so it is that everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou the teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Key chapter in the Gospel of John, recorded only in the Gospel of John, not in the other three Gospels. Nicodemus, by many commentaries, was an unusual man. He was a Pharisee, but unusual in the characteristic that he was open-minded, because the Pharisees in general were not open-minded. You know, they checked their ability to think, as sometimes we characterize, checked it in at the door before they entered in, because they were told what they should think and what they should do and how they should behave and what they should support. So maybe my first thought or question is, why did he come to the Lord? He was steeped in rabbinical teaching and in thinking and in practice. steeped in the law, but yet, in some cases, when we step back from a situation, we will observe. Observing, evaluating, listening to what's being said or what's being taught, whether it be in scriptural teaching in a service at a church or whether it be in teaching that takes place at home with parents and children or whether it be teaching that takes place in an educational setting. But the Jews, of whom Nicodemus was a part, the ruling council, man of the Pharisees, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. Well, why would you come by night? Maybe because it's frowned upon by your colleagues and your compatriots to go by day in the open. We observe somebody we know going someplace that we might think is unacceptable. We might think the negative of it or have some other thoughts about why that person is going there or who they're participating with or who they're communicating with. In a working setting, you know, you go to your supervisor if you have a question or a concern. You don't go to another supervisor and bring it up and suddenly, hey, did you see so-and-so went into so-and-so's office and what's going on? Not following, as we might characterize it, proper protocol. Chain of command. So Nicodemus had to go at night, surreptitiously, not in the obvious, frowned upon for fear. But he had questions that he had that needed to be answered. You know, one commentary said maybe there was even an ulterior motive to this. Right? Paying a night visit to Jesus, get answers, then go back and tell his buddies what the answers were. Jesus generally encountered people in public places. In fact, in the first 11 chapters of this gospel, everything, all the gatherings were done, as John tells us, during the day. Work while it is day versus when night comes. And so Nicodemus, in respect of Jesus as a rabbi, addresses him as that, such. And he marvels at the signs that were taking place, what Jesus was doing. When something significant happens, miraculous perhaps to us, we marvel at it. Wow. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that marvelous? We might even use that characteristic. But he honors the Lord as a teacher, as a man sent from God, right? Came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, American Standard signs that you do, except God be with him. Except God be with him. See, God the Father had sent Jesus Christ the Son, and now the church was empowered, is empowered, day of Pentecost forward by the Spirit, which came from God the Father, as Jesus had said would be fulfillment of the promise. But the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whenever we see the term God, we need to think, is it an aspect of the Trinity, or is it the full person of the Trinity in action? But Nicodemus gives the honor and the recognition that the Lord deserves, that Jesus Christ deserved, because of the miracles and the signs that were being done, which was not normal. Not normal. By any stretch of the imagination to have these things taking place. Think of the miracles that are recorded for us in Scripture. Think of the miraculous teachings that the Lord gave in the discourses he spoke. Even that was miraculous, was marvelous. Jesus answers his comment in verse 3, which is oftentimes seen as puzzling, when he says, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or anew, as it tells us in the ASV translation, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, the term in Greek, again, can be taken, or the term word in Greek can be taken as again or from above. So let's take it a different way. As a man, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, it comes externally to us. It isn't internally generated. Even as we sing in so many songs and hymns that, you know, it comes from something external. God, Jesus comes to us. The Lord comes to us through the Word. The Lord comes to us through actions of the church and through behaviors, interaction with others in Christianity. And so, except a man be born again, one take on the Greek word, or to be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be taken both ways. So how does Nicodemus take it? Well, he takes it in a very natural way that we would think is only normal when someone thinks about being born again. You know, re-entry into the womb and then be born a second time. Well, the Lord clearly didn't mean that, but Nicodemus took it that way. He hears it again, his questions indicate, but Jesus continues the commentary showing he meant it to be from above. From above. Because Jesus answered in verse 5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, Nicodemus is just being very normal and asking his question. Born from above or born again? Well, to become a part or to participate in Jesus' redeeming work, it has to come from God, the Father. Through the word that is spoken, through the word that is read, through the elements that we partake of in the sacraments. All of those speak of and tell us of that which comes external to us. It's not self-generated. And so to become a part or to participate in Jesus' redeeming work, it has to come from God. Jesus speaks of the water and of the Spirit. Except a man be born of water. The water of the Word, the Spirit, the agent of regeneration. Water can be taken here as baptism because the Word is there. Water can also be taken or considered as the water of the Word that we hear and that we share and helps regenerate us as humanity. But it's a cleansing word. A cleansing word. You know, we've been busy and working and clothes are soiled. We put them what? In the washing machine. Right? We wash the clothes. When we need to take a bath, as children sometimes enjoy and sometimes don't want to take, we are washed in the water, the natural water that removes the soiling. And so that's what the word does. It's a cleansing word. It removes sin. The water of the word removes sin from our lives. Confession to one another, corporate confession to God, we hear the word that removes that as far as it tells us in Scripture, the east is from the west. The east is from the west, long distance. And Jesus wanted to understand that he had to go back and evaluate all these prerequisites in his Judaic legacy that he was holding so strongly to, and to change his perspective and his way of thinking. We like to hold on to legacy of family, legacy of church, legacy of community, you know, where we've come from, legacy of ethnicity. We hold on to that. Judaic legacy was that which Nicodemus was holding on to, but at least he was willing to step back and think about it. What does he do with the answers that he gets? It leaves it open-ended. Scripture doesn't tell us. He goes back and tells the Pharisees. He goes back to his community. He goes and tells his family. Maybe parents, we don't know. That's why Scripture is often open-ended. So it gives us pause to think and maybe to fill in the blanks as we might see fit. But a man must be born of water, of the water of the word, and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter or to see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Someone is born once. It doesn't occur again, even as Nicodemus was struggling with that whole thinking. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again or to be born anew. The Spirit continues today to be the agent of regeneration, purification from sin, reception of the Spirit, as we know, occurred on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And so we have the Spirit and the Word, which are both part of the Christian church and the Christian life. We are led by the Spirit because we have entered in to His kingdom. The Jews were very much thinking in terms of ceremonial cleansing, you know, washings, lavers where they reached in and touched the water and, you know, put it on themselves or whatever those ceremonial practices were. But spiritual life and cleansing is distinct and separate from natural physical life and cleaning. All who believe participate and have been given the office and the sacrament of baptism. Washing of water by the word. Titus speaks of it in the terms of regeneration. I think of regeneration, I think of a chemical process. You know, the regeneration of a water softener, for instance, or regeneration of some chemical engineering process where the soiling is taken away. I can remember going in college as a mechanical engineer, taking a chemical engineering class. Somewhat behind the eight ball when it came down to what those guys were used to studying and understanding and characterizing. It was a very interesting class. Got a B in it. Okay, most of the chemical engineers got A's, but the professor was great and he was willing to teach and I learned a lot. Sometimes it's not the easiest classes where we learn the most, is it? When we go to school. But it's regeneration. Regeneration of some kind of a purifier or some kind of a natural process. And I could very well relate what is spoken of here in the Gospel of John, the regeneration that the Lord speaks to Nicodemus about, the regeneration that Titus speaks about in his epistle. But to be born of the Spirit or to be regenerated of the Spirit is a distinction, a marker of God's people versus that of the world. It distinguishes us, makes us distinct from that which is not of God's kingdom. And no marvel, the Lord tells Nicodemus, that I tell you, you must be born or regenerated. Think of the wind coming through Palm Springs on our way back from California. Step out of the car to put gas in the car in Palm Springs and the door about slams in your face because the wind is just whistling through the pass as it comes inland. You can tell the direction, closes the door, or if you're facing the other direction, it slams the door wide open. All of a sudden your fuel economy goes up and through the roof because the wind is pushing you down the street. Versus going the other direction, you're fighting against the wind. We are to understand the wind of the Spirit directs us into ways of truth. Wind blows, you hear the sound, but oftentimes you can't tell where it's coming if it's very slow and where it goes. But so it is, the wind is a characteristic or used by the Lord to characterize regeneration of the Spirit. We have been regenerated of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? At least Nicodemus can be credited with honesty. He didn't nod his head and say, yeah, okay, yeah, I understand. No, how can these things be? He queries the Lord again. How can these things be? Or how can this be? Because it was very different from what he had learned in Pharisaical settings in Old Testament teachings and the Torah, of which he was very well read and well understood. And the Lord prompts him, you're Israel's teacher. You're one of the Sanhedrin. You're part of the leadership. You should understand this. I think that's one of the things I struggled with when I was still working, is that they would put people in leadership that didn't understand what the department was about. Very difficult to lead people that you don't understand what they're doing. But that was, you know, some of American corporate culture and thinking of the 2000-year time frame. You are Israel's teacher. We speak and testify what we know. I'm imparting the gospel to you in the general sense. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 11, we speak that which we know, and testify of that which we have seen. And you receive not our witness. He had seen, he had heard. Seen the Lord's miracles, seen the signs, heard his teaching of the people. Maybe he stood in the back row, but yet it was enough to prompt him to cause him to go to the Lord in the dead of night to ask his questions. But the Lord chides him a little bit. Sometimes that's what it takes. And generally we speak what we know. Nothing worse than somebody speaking about that which they do not know. You know, if we understand something in a natural way, in an educational way, and we get somebody stands up and gives a lecture and they're out in left field, and we just kind of shake our head like, boy, he should know, doesn't know his material. That's pretty bad. We should never speak that which we do not know. Whether it be in a natural setting, simply say, I don't know. Or in the setting of the church, we should be honest and say, I don't understand that. I don't know. It's okay to say that. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If I tell you about things that take place on this earth and you don't believe it, then how are you going to believe if I tell you of things that are of eternal consequence and significance? This whole regeneration issue. The being born again. People get hung up on that. Born again, it's really a regeneration issue. Because I think verse 5 is so clear. A lot of times people will highlight the last half of verse 3, whereas we should probably highlight the entirety of verse 5, because that's the answer. That's the answer. The regeneration, born of water and of the Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Three, the bottom line that he's trying to get Nicodemus to take home, to be able to ponder and to consider and mull it over. And the Lord amplifies it in verses 10, 11, and 12 that, you know, I'm trying to teach you this, that you would believe. I'm trying to tell you heavenly things. No man hath ascended up to heaven, verse 13, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. I've come down here to teach you these things, to turn you from self to God. And thus he is revealing how God works, revealing spiritual things, because he has come down from the Father in the form of a human, perfect God and perfect man. And so in order for you to see, the answer parabolically was given. And so now he goes back to something that Nicodemus well understood, the Moses wilderness serpent experience of the Israelites. Right? So, verses 14 and 15, chapter 3, verse 16 is so often quoted, it almost becomes trite, but let's back up to verse 14 first. So, Moses was a leader of God's people through the wilderness. Need someone in charge. Moses was that man. The people murmured and complained, as is so often a part of our human makeup, to murmur and to complain. And the complaints were against the ones who were leading and where they were going. Remember, they came to the land of Canaan, and Caleb and Joshua led them into Canaan. the promised land and said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. There are giants there. They brought back some of the good stuff. And the people murmured and complained. Wasn't the first time, wasn't going to be the last. Complain because the giants were in the land. Complain because we had it better in Egypt. Complain because you fill in the blank. Complain because even today, things are not perfect, things are not exact. We need to live with the status quo that we have in our time and in our own lives. But the pole was placed that the people could look up to Christ. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses had this example. The pole was a cruciform. It wasn't just a singular pole. And Moses lifted up the pole and people would be able to look at it and they were saved from themselves. The pole is Christ. Christ would provide. Christ has provided victory in the cross. But man must believe that. The means of grace misused in the Old Testament, the serpent, the cloud, the fire, the pillar of fire by night, the cloud that led the Israelites by day, these all pointed to the coming messianic delivery of Jesus the Christ. Our victory is completed, the redemptive work of Jesus. Period. To which we add nothing. The means of grace is extended to us, means of grace being the elements and the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of baptism, the means of extending God's grace to his people. The faucet in the house, as one of my elder colleagues and mentors said many years ago, you need to turn on the water to get or turn on the faucet to get water from the house. Even so must the sacraments be practiced so the means of grace are extended to his people. Longtime pastor in Seattle, Alvin Holmgren. I never forgot that. Turn on the faucet. Appreciate the water. You know, we take it for granted that we turn on the faucet at home and there's water coming out of the spigot. Need to appreciate and understand that we receive water through the Word. The water is the Word that we receive and that sustains us. Nicodemus came with questions. Jesus gives some answers. Nicodemus tries to defend what he says. The Lord maybe opens his vision from being that which is a tunnel to, you know, some wider perspective. The miracle of it all, in my mind, is Nicodemus in the last, after the Lord is crucified, after the Lord dies, he participates in the burial. What was that time frame between this discourse when he is speaking to the Lord and when he partakes in the burial in the garden? Perhaps a couple years, we don't know, but in the interim, it's hopeful that this discourse, which is recorded for us in John, and John alone, helped prompt, I like to think it did prompt, Nicodemus to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Not everything was open and visible. You know, here we're closet Christians or those who live in places of persecution and affliction that are Christians, but not overtly. They're more withdrawn or more subdued. And the result of Moses lifting up in the serpent, even as we know when the Son of Man is lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but may in him have eternal life. May in him, American Standard, trying to amplify the whole issue that it's found in him. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but may in him have eternal life. There's the promise. And then John 3:16, that is the follow-on that we see placards at football games and basketball games and billboards on the side of the road, maybe the most well-known of all of Scripture. God's love for the world. giving his only son. The Lord that's speaking this, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but the promise is that we would receive and that we will receive eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we conclude, may we remember these words of the Lord. The water and the word of which we receive, the water of the word of which we receive, the regeneration of the Spirit, the complete puzzle that has been put together by you as our Heavenly Father, and we know now the three persons of the Trinity have been in action for over 2,000 years. But we continue in faith, we continue to understand the gift of the Spirit and leading that it guides each one of us in our journey today. Now, unto him was able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.